They just drove over this morning, right? And we are particularly privileged to have them, and I'm not going to spend any time embellishing that, but maybe a little bit later. So I'm going to pray and then ask Ken to come up, I presume, or Monica, or however you're going to do it, and present to us whatever you're going to present, because we know it'll be wonderful. Thank you. So let me pray for us, please, as we begin this morning. Our Father, how thankful we are to be the people of the living God. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our all. And thank you that we can meet in His name, and we can meet in freedom today. We pray your protection, your care, Father, in the things that are said, the things that are done, that you would be the one that is really speaking through our speaker today. We ask your blessing upon them. We pray that they would get comfort and rest and encouragement in their time with us and their time in the United States. Oh, Father, we need thy presence in everything that we do. We look to thee and are dependent upon thee. We praise you for your kindness and goodness to us and your blessing, and ask your mercies on those that are ill and those that are troubled of heart and various reasons. We thank you that you're the God of all peace and the God of all comfort. So bless this time today. Help us to praise your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Ken, come, please.
Well, good morning. If you have your copy of God's Word with you, you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We'll do some looking in there. Let me just kind of give you some information about some things that have happened recently to us. This is not normally our scheduled time back. Normally we have another year on the field before we come back. But it was interesting. One of our supporting churches said to us, hey, we're going to do this missions conference in California. We want you to come and to be a part of the missions conference. And so I was talking to Monica and I was saying, well, I'm just going to have to tell them that we can't do it. And then our sending church said, oh, by the way, we have a bunch of stuff that you guys stored in a storage area here at the church when you originally went to the field, and we're trying to clean this out. So I looked at Monica, and she looked at me, and we said, well, I guess that means we're supposed to go back this year. So this has been a fast and furious time for us. We landed on October 2nd after a grueling trip across the ocean. I don't know if you know, but they've taken the seats, so they made them smaller. They put them closer together, so if you try and watch a movie, the screen kind of burns your eyes out of your head. It's much more difficult to travel in some of these airlines anymore. But by God's grace, we landed on October 2nd. On October 13th, we were in Fresno, California. And those folks took real good care of us. They were a real blessing to us. And then after that, our journey started. We have been to Hillsboro, Oregon, spoken at church there, spoke also in a Christian school. We have been to Chehalis, Washington, Yakima, Washington, where one of our former teammates now is back in the United States, so we had to visit Claudia. And then saw my mom in Boise, Idaho, and then went to our sending church in Ohio. And then went down and saw our children, two of our daughters and their families in Florida. And so we are back this way, on our way back to Phoenix, Arizona. And it's been a fast and furious trip, but it's been a good trip. God has been really good to us. So this morning, I want to have you do a little work. Let me ask this question. When you're trying to interpret the scripture, how do you do that? Where do you start? What kinds of things are you looking, do you have to be careful of when you're trying to interpret the scripture? We begin with what? Observation, right? We're observing what's in the text. And so we have to observe. We have to observe the context. And then we have to kind of pull it down into a precept, because there are some things the scripture talks about that while they are relevant to the time and place and situation, they're not always relevant to us. We don't totally understand why unless we narrow it down into a precept. So if you will turn with me to chapter 16 of Matthew, we want to pull a couple of precepts out of there before we get into our presentation this morning. How much time do I have, by the way?
Till 15 after.
Till quarter after. Okay. Now when Jesus, beginning in verse, my eyes aren't working here, beginning verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And we'll stop there. What's the first thing you notice in that text? Come on, I'm not doing all the work here. Okay, but there was something before that. Who do people say that I am? Everybody has opinion about Jesus, right? Everybody. It doesn't take too much, you know, go online and look up guys like Richard Dawkins, Dr. Richard Dawkins, who says Jesus was a good moral teacher. But that's where it ends. He is more likely to believe that aliens have come and seeded the planet than he is to believe that there is a God who is over all things. Or you have people like the late Christopher Hitchens who said Jesus of Nazareth never existed. There's no evidence in history. Well, obviously he doesn't know his history, because there's lots of evidence. And then New Age guru Deepak Chopra, Christ is a state of consciousness in all of us that all of us can tap into. Everybody has an opinion about Jesus. Or Bart Ehrman, who was a former theologian, former theology teacher, and now agnostic, at least admits Christians did not invent Jesus. They invented the idea that the Messiah had to be crucified, whether we like it or not. Jesus certainly existed. So everybody has an opinion about Jesus. And it was the Pharisees. If we went all the way back to the beginning of chapter 16, we would see where the Pharisees are saying, "Show us a sign." Because they, too, wanted to know who Jesus was. "Prove that you're the Messiah," is what they were asking. "Prove you're from God." Now, next point. What do you think? What is the next thing that we can draw out of that passage? Okay. All right. And so, when Peter makes his comment, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus goes on to tell him, "That was revealed to you, Peter. You didn't just come by that naturally, Peter. You just didn't, in your wisdom, your infinite wisdom, make this conclusion that Jesus is the Son of the Almighty." That had to be revealed. And notice, not all of the disciples knew who Jesus was, because it had not been revealed. So it shouldn't surprise us. We're going to talk this morning during church about this trend going on in the church that really has me disturbed, and it should have you disturbed as well. Young people are leaving the church in droves. And so the reason, I don't want to steal from my sermon this morning, but one of the reasons that we have to contend with is we are partly to blame. Because we have turned Jesus into this caricature. And while we may have this faith to believe in Christ and what Christ has done on the cross, it has to be revealed by God the Father. And we can't just assume our kids are Christians. It has to be revealed. So one of the things that I want to address this morning is what God is doing in Romania. And I want you to keep in mind, you know, one of the beautiful things about being in an international church ministry is that we have all kinds of young people that come to us. We had a young man show up from Nigeria who had his Good News Bible, and he was fully inculcated in the prosperity gospel. It was something that he believed was absolutely true. And he left us for a while because he realized very quickly, we don't preach the prosperity gospel. He came back. His name's Noli. And he's become a wonderful blessing to the church. But the point that I want to make is we can never stop preaching the gospel. We can never stop living the gospel. People need to know that we have a passion, a devotion for Christ. And if they see it in us, then they're going to know that something is real. If it's changed me, there's a reason it's changed me, because it's true. So this morning, let's talk a little bit about Romania, if I can get this thing to work. There we go. For those of you who don't know where we live and work, we live in the country of Romania. And you'll notice right above us is what country? No, Ukraine is right above us. Is there any excitement going on in Ukraine right now? Yeah, over the course of the last, probably the first 7 months of 2023, we've had over 2 million refugees come across our border. Some of our sister churches that we work with have really been doing a wonderful job in working with those refugees. But Romania is a beautiful place. I just would encourage you, if you can, take a visit to Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe is absolutely a beautiful place. They have literally, somebody's going to have to teach me how to use this. Okay. There we go. I guess the animation's in there causing me fits. Okay. There we go. And what's fascinating is we live in a country that's not quite 250 years old. Well, Romania has been around for over 3,000 years, and they have a rich history. And so it's all over the place. We have thousands of monasteries, castles, just things that would just boggle the mind and the imagination about the cultures that have changed and the really the craftiness of men in creating these things. You'll notice the date on this. September 17th, 2003. This was taken 10 days before we boarded an airplane and went to Romania as a family. 10 days. How many years have we been there? I realized on September 27th of this year, I was at home for something, and I was walking through the apartment, and I said to Monica, do you realize what day this is? We've been here 20 years. Wow, time flies. Of course, all our kids are gone. All our kids are in other places. And this was our 20-year celebration. I think some of my slides must have grabbed the wrong slideshow, but that's okay. This was our 20 years before we went out and had our 20-year celebration dinner. There we go. We live today in the city of Yosh. You'll notice Yosh is in the upper right corner, right next to the Republic of Moldova. We're about 40 kilometers from the Republic of Moldova. This whole area is very historic. On into Moldova, that used to be a part of Romania. Again, lots of monasteries, lots of things to see and do in this part of the country. But Yosh is the third largest city. And so we end up with people that come from all over the world. The population, including the metropolitan area, I have discovered is actually 600,000 residents. And it's home to the oldest Romanian university in the country. It's first engineering school. Okay. This is the Cultural Palace. It's about a little more than a stone's throw from our house. Okay. Okay.
That's magic.
Yeah, magic. And of course, because it used to be a part of the former communist bloc, you have all these cement block apartments. And it's very interesting how the whole city is really compacted into a lot of these cement block apartments. You do have some houses, some residential areas, but most people live in block apartments. Yosh is a university town. This is our medical university. People come to school in Yosh because it's cheaper to go to school there. You can get your medical, go to medical school for about $7,000 a year. And it is also, you can do either an English section where you learn in English, or you can learn in French, or you can learn in Romanian. But we have all kinds of universities, whether it's different engineering universities, different business. There's even an international law university there in Yosh. This is a graduation, and you notice there's just droves of people at this graduation at the medical school. So there's wonderful opportunities because for us, you know, because people like to come to Romania to learn, we have students. And what happens when a student leaves home for the first time? Crazy, yeah. But not just crazy, it's I have freedom now to actually learn different things that my parents wouldn't expect me to learn. Especially our Muslim students, 60% of those students that are in the English language section of the universities speak are from Arabic countries. So if we have the ability then to evangelize and to disciple these students, they take the gospel with them. And so most American missionaries cannot go to Muslim countries. But these students can go. We have students from all over the world, not just Muslim countries. We have students this year from the Philippines, South America, a few from even the United States, and from all over Europe they come. And so our main focus is to reach out to these students. Students give us new opportunities for the gospel. And it's just, we learn to love these guys, and they learn to love us as well. One year we had it was the first year Monique and I were in Yosh. We were going to have we were going to have Christmas without kids for the first time. All our kids were back home, and I said to this young man named Rajiv. Rajiv looks like he's Muslim, but he's about this tall, big bushy beard, and he's from Madagascar. And I told Rajiv, wow, this is going to be the first year we've going to have Christmas without kids. He looked at me and he said, don't worry, you have 60 other children that will take their place. So it's been a wonderful relationship with these guys. But that's one of the things that we're constantly doing. We're constantly coming up with ideas. How can we reach out to these students? How can we meet them where they're at and show that, you know what, we're not intimidating people. We just want to love you in the name of Jesus. We just want to love you. And so we do. We do what we can in order to reach out. We have International Food Festival competition every year. We have other things that we do for these students. But our focus is not street evangelism. Our focus is building relationships, hopefully relationships that last. And relationships, we've discovered, are what open doors. And so when we bring them into our environment, our own students have the ability then to continue to reach out and make those connections as well. The church began in 2007 as a Bible study among international students, and now it has grown into a local church. This is actually only part of the church, but God has been growing Ecclesia International. I know those of you who know Greek are going to say, no, it should be Ecclesia. Well, you're right, but I didn't come up with a name, so. So we are continually reaching out, and whereas before we had all kinds of single missionaries that had come from the United States, I think at one point we had one female and three males that came, and they were a part of us. And now Debbie left. She went back to the States because her grandparents were having problems and issues, and she wanted to go help them. And then all of our singles are not single anymore. Now, we don't run a dating service, but the Lord has brought spouses that were part of our church. And so, as you can see, one of our young men is now a husband and a father, and he's got two boys. So it's been great, but the problem is they don't have the disposable time they had before. So the fields are ripe, but the laborers are few. And that's, in all honesty, that's the way God does things, because it keeps us dependent upon Him. It keeps us hungry. But one of the reasons we're back this time, since God brought us back, we are bringing our need to our supporting churches and saying, look, we need people. Summers are kind of slow for us. You know, we get down to 15, 20 people, but that happens immediately after graduation. But the nice thing is that when the new school year rolls around, we end up with all kinds of people. And this is what we want, right? We want people to know Jesus. Our baptismal pool is a wine vat, by the way. And so Julie is getting baptized for the first time as an adult. And internationals galore. Oh, come on, you. But we reach out with whatever we have. My wife, God has endowed with a great number of skills, cooking, sewing, all kinds of things, and she uses it to reach out to people. You ought to see Christmas time at my house. She makes all kinds of Christmas cookies. And so every or horizontal surface in my living room is covered with cookies everywhere. The house smells like sugar cookies. But we need help. So how can you help? Well, you can begin by praying for us, praying that God would raise up those singles especially who would want to come and be a part of our ministry. Even if that's just to say, you know what, I'm going to take a gap year from high school before I go to college, and I just want to see how God could use me in a foreign country. We've had other students that have come and said, hey, you know what, I want to take 2 years rather than just one. If there's a couple that says, you know what, I think God might be calling me to Romania, great. There's plenty of work to do, because not only do we work among the international students, but Monique and I also work among the Baptist churches, the Romanian Baptist churches that are struggling terribly. This was our camp this last year. You can tell we've had quite a few students that came to be a part of us. And some of these students don't know Jesus yet, but they're being exposed to the gospel regularly. We also have, this last year, well, a couple of years ago now, had a team to come from California that wanted to come help out with a project. And so if you guys want to come, I've got lots of projects. I have an attic that I started insulating that covers the whole church. And then I realized that the dust from what I was doing was bothering my wife's asthma, so she couldn't help me anymore. And so it still needs finished. I've got work to do. But it's been a blessing to see people come, because when you come, even if you just come for a visit to say hi, you get to see what we see every day. You get to know, okay, this is what the Lucas may be struggling with. How can now we take this information back to the States and get our church to pray? Because God works when his people pray. This was actually my 60th birthday celebration. It's been a couple of years ago. But this is the finished product of that room that those guys were working on a couple slides back. This church, this Baptist church, we're doing what we can to help reinvigorate the churches because they have dwindling numbers as well. And so we're trying to help them however we can. But pray. But not only pray, send. You know, you guys have established a missions committee. Think, how can we take steps to instill a vision in our young people, especially, to go and serve Christ wherever he may call them? Sometimes we think that that's just that's somebody else's responsibility. That's the university they go to. They're going to go to a Christian university, and they're going to instill that into them. You know what? That's not true anymore. God is calling all kinds of people. Are we as the church identifying, deliberately taking steps to raise up those people to replace us? We don't live forever, at least not here on this earth. There's going to be a day we take our last breath here, and it's my prayer that we're diligent about raising up the next generation to take over and to advance the kingdom of God. This is the Monica I remember. We had a missionary, a visiting missionary, come and with their family, and they actually came to our camp because they happened to be there at the right time. And Larissa is the wife's name. She came up to me and she said, "Boy, you and Monica have a unique ministry." I said, "Okay." I'd never thought of it that way before. She said, "No, you have a unique ministry. Not only are you pastor and teacher, but your father and mother, grandma and grandpa, and friend." I hadn't thought about that before. But that's the calling that God has placed on our lives. And that is what we're all called to be those things for others, that we might lead them to the knowledge of Christ and be part of what Jesus is doing in building his church. So, pray. Send. Deliberately raise up young people. Or if you've got a couple in this church that you're saying, yeah, they're wanting to do this, and we see that God has equipped them, send them. But more importantly, go. What is keeping us bound to our homes and to our circumstances in life? Who is Jesus to us? If Jesus were to ask us, "Who do you say that I am?" What is the evidence that we believe our testimony that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God? The evidence is though we are willing to lay down our lives for his kingdom. So pray for us. We still have some traveling to do. We'll be headed off to Phoenix, Arizona. We have one more church to speak in to challenge them with the same message. But we are also just so grateful for the relationship that God has given us with you folks and how you've been faithful over the years to keep us on the field. 20 years is not an accident. 20 years is the work of God's people in going out to the uttermost parts of the earth. So thank you for that, and may God bless you. So I'm early. I'm done.
We don't normally have that around.